I've lost quite a few friends for speaking out against certain issues. How can I be sure that I'm being a true light for Christ when speaking out against things that I believe are wrong? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And you can email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, four California high school students are helping children color their way through the coronavirus pandemic. The students teamed up on an economics class project at the end of their freshman year at Long Beach Polytechnic High School. The students, who are all 15 years old, developed a business plan to publish a coronavirus-themed coloring book for kids that would raise money for charity. But instead of stopping there, the four used their plan to create the Be the Change Coloring Company to publish their COVID coloring book. This 28-page coloring book features characters such as Al E. Gator, Wally the Narwhal, and Sam the Snail, and the characters explain the do's and don'ts for staying safe during the pandemic, including teaching kids how to properly wash their hands. The book even comes with a face mask. Now, these books cost $5, and 40% of the price is donated to charity, and the kids are really excited about their new project. Isn't that neat to hear young people who are really making a difference during this time?
Yes, it's very neat. I mean, we keep hearing these stories of these young entrepreneurs who are helping others. And it just makes me think, like, I was not doing that when I was 15, creating a business plan and doing all this stuff. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, when I was that age, I was just riding my Stingray down to 7-Eleven for Slurpees every day.
Yeah, I still ride a Stingray to get Slurpees.
Well, let's get to our first question of the day. And this one comes from Bianca, who posted on our Twitter account. She says, Pastor Adriel, what is your favorite book of the Bible and why?
Ah, Bianca, that's like asking me, which of my kids is my favorite? I mean, it's a really hard question to answer. I think typically it's whatever book I'm preaching through, because that's like the book that I'm deep into. And so I begin to fall in love with it, you know, in a way that I hadn't before. So usually it's sort of funny, but whatever book I'm preaching through tends to be my favorite book at that time. But I would say, you know, if I had to pick favorite book of the Bible, I'm going to go with Old Testament Leviticus, because I did preach through Leviticus some time ago. You know, the quickest way to shrink your church, preach through Leviticus. It was quite the experience. It was actually kind of funny because I was having a great time. But after we were done with the series through Leviticus, I had a few people come up to me and say, yeah, we're glad that's over. You know?
Oh, no.
But no, I mean, I actually loved preaching through Leviticus, and I love the book of Leviticus because of all the types and shadows that point us to Jesus and the neat things related to worship there. I mean, one of the things that you get from Leviticus is that God is holy and that he cares about how he's worshiped. And I think one of the reasons I love, at least when we're looking at the Old Testament, I love the book of Leviticus is because I think that we've missed that today in a lot of our churches. We don't have that same reverence and awe, I think, that you got in the scriptures related to worship. And that's not just for the Old Testament worship. I mean, even in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about worshiping God with reverence and awe because God is a consuming fire. I don't know what you think, Bill and Bianca. I don't know if you feel this same way, but I feel like in a lot of our churches today, we've lost that sense of reverence and awe, that sense of the holiness of God. And so I love the book of Leviticus because it's just there, front and center. And then the New Testament, let me think about that. I mean, I kind of want to say the Gospel of John. I find myself going back to John over and over again. It's the book that I recommend to people when I'm, you know, trying to get them to read the Bible. If they've never picked up the Bible, I say, well, go to the Gospel of John. And I think because there's just so many beautiful pictures of Jesus there. I mean, you have all the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. You have the miracles, these different accounts, I think, that really focus in on Jesus, not just as the Savior, but as God incarnate. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so I'm going to go with Leviticus and John, but I think if you asked me in 45 minutes, I might give a different answer. That's just kind of how I feel right now. Bill, what's your favorite book?
Well, interestingly enough, it's probably the book that you're going through right now during your sermon series, Galatians. Just such an awesome book with so much rich theology. And let me just say, if you don't have an online church service right now, check out Pastor Adriel's sermons, because they are we watched with our kids actually last week from Galatians 6 and restoring the believer who has fallen, and just some really solid stuff. So thanks for your great preaching.
Hey, thanks. I'm always super encouraged when I hear people say, hey, my kids got something out of that. I think that's the goal in preaching, is we want to preach for everyone to understand the truth of God's word. And so that's really cool. Tell your kids, thanks for checking it out.
You bet. Let's get to another question. This one came in from Steve, and he says, is there a doctrine as to what a church should do with its offerings? I just wonder if a church should be giving regularly to the community that it's in. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that there are some principles in Scripture that we can take, right? Like examples that we have in the New Testament related to the question of regularly giving to the community. That can sort of make me uncomfortable. I guess my question would be, what do you mean by that? Are you talking about, hey, you know, there's a park being built in my neighborhood, maybe we should take the tithes and the offerings that the church is receiving, and we should give those resources to the building of this park because it's gonna make the neighborhood more beautiful or something like that? That would make me uncomfortable. We really have to ask the question, what is the mission of the church? The mission of the church was given to her by Jesus, the Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. That's the mission of the church. The church is called by Jesus to make disciples. So whatever we're doing with our resources, it should be geared toward accomplishing that mission. If we're not doing that, if it's not gospel ministry that we're supporting, then I think we're misusing those resources. And you have, you know, different ways in the New Testament that sort of plays out. You think of the fact that throughout the New Testament, you have this encouragement to support the pastors of the church, for example. You see this in 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, Paul said, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. I remember years ago, I had this friend who was a Mormon, and we would talk about Jesus and the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. And one of the things he would sort of boast about is he would say, well, you know, in the Mormon church, we don't have any paid clergy. We don't have pastors that we pay or that kind of a thing. And he was proud of that fact. And it just made me think, like, well, actually, Paul makes it very clear, like, we ought to support our pastors. Why? Because they're laboring in preaching and teaching. We want to free them up to be able to exegete God's word. Man, we should have a high view of the ministry of the word. Not just put anybody up there to preach and teach God's word. You wouldn't go, you know, to a doctor who had never been trained or go under the knife, you know, surgery by someone who had learned how to do surgery via YouTube videos or something like that. And yet oftentimes I think when it comes to the ministry of the word, we just think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Anybody could do it. But the reality is, it really is this high calling in the New Testament, and pastors are called to study, to show themselves approved, to know the word of God, to be able to teach it soundly. We want to, as churches, we should want to free them up in order to do that. And that's one of the things that you see churches in the New Testament giving resources to. You also have collections that were taken for the saints, for those who were in need. You think of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks about a relief fund, essentially, that was put together for the poor saints in Jerusalem. You think about the fact that early on in the church, there were these programs for caring for the widows of the church. You see this in Acts chapter 6. You basically have this fund that's put together in order to feed, to care for the widows of the church, those who couldn't care for themselves. There's actually a whole section on this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, caring for widows who are truly widows. And so it seems like the church was committed to the ministry of the word, advancing the gospel in that way, and then caring for each other, the people who are in need in the congregation, in the body of Christ, who don't have any other way of being able to help themselves. Well, that's where the church gets to step in. That's why we have things like deacons. You know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, deacons, elders, I don't get what's the difference? What are those offices about? Well, Paul talks about them in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1. And the elders are really there to care for the spiritual well-being of the congregation. They focus on teaching the word, on governing the church, caring for the sheep, shepherding them. Well, the deacons focus really on the sort of physical well-being of the congregation. When somebody is in need, when the widows need to be cared for, the orphans need to be cared for, that's where the deacons focus. And God has just organized his church in such a beautiful way because he realizes, God knows, one person can't do everything. You can't have one pastor who's trying to care for the spiritual and physical and everything else. No, we have teams. We all have these different gifts. And you think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so it seems to me, Steve, that the focus of the ministries of the church should be the advancement of the gospel and caring for those who are in need within the body of Christ. And insofar as we're investing in things that are outreach related, I think there's nothing wrong with having, you know, soup kitchens or those kinds of things. But the goal should always be not just to nourish people physically, but to nourish them spiritually as well. During this coronavirus pandemic, one of the things we've been doing as a church, one of our deacons came up with this, I think, wonderful idea. It's been a neat ministry, just putting together these food boxes with, you know, staple food items to give away to people who are in need in our community, yeah, throughout San Diego where we're at. And so on Saturdays, he'll get together with some other members of our church and they'll put together these food boxes and they'll give them out. And usually we have these little notes of encouragement in the boxes, maybe some scripture, some gospel encouragement, just to say, hey, on behalf of Christ, we want to bless you. And that's outreach opportunities, right? We're trying to create bridges into the community, not just to give people free food. I mean, there's a part of that, but also because we want to share the love of Christ with people. And that's the goal, Steve, with the offerings that are received by the church. It has to be focused on, they ought to be focused on, how are we expanding the ministry of the word in the world? How are we introducing people to Jesus? Thanks for your question.
How do you feel about churches that may do wonderful works in the community, but never actually preach the name of Christ? They may be serving the poor, but there's never a word mentioned about Jesus.
I mean, I feel pretty strongly about that. I mean, you can have a social club that does good things, but the job of the church, what God has called pastors to do, is to preach the word. And so we should care about the physical, the well-being of the people around us. But if we're not preaching the word, technically, I would say we're not even a church. The church is created by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, Paul said in Romans 10, and hearing by the word of God. And so if the word of the gospel is not being proclaimed, there's something really wrong. And frankly, Bill, I think that there are churches out there that do a lot of nice things, so-called churches that do a lot of nice things. They might even meet in these beautiful buildings, you know, where there's crosses adorning the walls and pews, and they have this great big organ and all these things, you know, and they're doing nice things in the community. But if they're not preaching the gospel, if they're not preaching Christ, well, it's not really a church. It might be a pretend church. It might present itself as a church, but that's not a church. Now, that's not to say that we just want to preach Jesus and not care about the well-being of our neighbors or the people in our church. No, we want to have a holistic vision of ministry. The focus is the gospel, but we want to care for people, you know, mind, body, and soul. Now, I think of, I'm sorry to go on and on, Bill, but I just always go back to that scene in John chapter 6 where Jesus had fed a multitude, and then they're coming back to him because they want more bread, and Jesus tries to tell them, look, I know you're coming back for more bread, but I want you to get this. I'm the bread of life. You remember what happened in that scene in John 6? The crowd left him. They left him. They were cool with the physical bread, you know, give me the physical bread, provide for my physical needs, but I'm not interested in what you're providing for me spiritually. And I think a lot of times churches today can only focus on the physical to the neglect of the spiritual. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He said, look, yeah, you know, he feeds the multitude, but he's trying to show them he's the bread of life. And that's the job of the church, is to give to people, not just physical bread, but to give them the bread of life, Jesus Christ.
Thanks for that great explanation, Adriel. This is Core Christianity with Bill Meyer and Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day, and we have an amazing team of people who are behind us producing this show, people who write the Core articles for our website. They produce the great Core Bible studies. These resources are really designed to help you more fully understand the gospel and also have the confidence to share your faith. And as you can imagine, all of this requires a lot of people to come alongside us and support this work.
That's right, Bill. You know, we couldn't do this without your prayers and without your help. And that's what we're asking you to come alongside of us and become a regular supporter. With a monthly donation of $25 or more, you can join the inner core and be a part of the team that makes this show possible. Head over to corechristianity.com/innercore to learn more, or give us a call at 833-THE-CORE. Again, that's 833-843-2673. And Bill, you know, we were just talking about what should be the focus of Christian ministry. It's getting Jesus, the bread of life, out there. And that's really what we want to do on this program. Help people to know God's word so that they might know God, know Christ, the bread of life. And so we really appreciate your support of us in that mission. Thank you for partnering with us.
Feel free to call us anytime. Again, that's 833-843-2673. Let's go to a call that came in from Sarah.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say thanks so much for all you do. My question is, in light of everything that's going on in our world and our country today with the politics, the racial division, I've lost actually quite a few friends for speaking out against some of the things going on. And my question is, how can you make sure that you're being a true light for Christ when speaking out against things like racism or divisive social groups, pedophilia, etc.? Thanks, guys.
Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for your encouragement, support. Thanks for listening to the program. And I mean, what a difficult season it seems like we've been in with everything going on with the coronavirus. And then you had, you know, the protests and all the racial tension in our country. There's just so much room for division in the church right now. I get that. I see that. And you're right. Like, we can talk about this. We can speak out about these things. And I think that we should. We're called as Christians to stand firm in the truth. And when we see evil, injustice, to speak out against it, not to be ashamed of the truth. That's a sad reality. A lot of people today are ashamed of the truth. People are calling good bad and bad good. We have everything backwards today. And it's easy to sort of jump on the bandwagon of the broader culture, but standing firm with God's word, you know, that might cause you to lose some friends. I think Jesus talked about this. Paul talked about this. You see this all over the place. You even think of the prophets in the Old Testament, right? Like them speaking the truth against Israel at that time didn't make them very popular. People want to hear peace, peace, where there is no peace. They want you to tell them what they already believe and to affirm them in that. And so it requires boldness to stand for God's word and to stand for God's truth. It required boldness then in the days of the Bible, and it requires boldness today as well. But I think at the same time, as we're having these discussions, we want to make sure that we're filled with charity and the love of Christ. And this idea of being a light in the world, it comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So interesting that Jesus says that, because we just talked about like the importance of loving God by our words and our actions, how the gospel goes out. It's this word, this message. We have to preach Jesus, but we also want to serve and do good. And that's a part of how we adorn the preaching of the gospel. People see our good works and they give glory to our Father who is in heaven. And when we do that, Sarah, we're a light in our community, in our neighborhoods where God has us. But the reality is sometimes when we shine for Jesus, we do good and we speak the truth, there are going to be people who just aren't interested. People who hate it. Paul said that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. He talked about how for some people, it's the aroma of life. Man, it's just life-giving. I believe that. I embrace that. For other people, it's the aroma of death. You preach Jesus and the truth of the gospel, and people just don't want to hear it. I think of what the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy when he exhorted him to preach the word in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to what he said. I mean, just such a powerful text of scripture. He says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." We are living in those days, Sarah. There are people who just don't want to hear the truth. They want you to tickle their ears. Give me what I want to hear. And so I think it's this balance of saying, with the love of Christ, with the truth of God's word, we want to engage the people around us, and we want to make sure that we're focusing on Jesus. We can speak out against a bunch of things without ever preaching the gospel, without ever sharing Christ. If you're just pointing the finger at the world and saying, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but never giving people the hope of the gospel, well, then I think the light isn't going to be shining very bright, because the light isn't me or my works. It's Jesus, who he is, shining in and through his people. It's the hope that we have in him. It's the gospel. And so you want to make sure that as you're speaking out against these things, you're also giving people the hope of the gospel. I mean, that should be the focus, because you know, you think about all the brokenness in the world. You think of things like racism. You think of the divisions that we see around us. The hope that we have is only through the truth of God's word. It's through what Jesus has done for us. And so, Sarah, as you seek to be a light, holding fast to the truth of Scripture, fix people's eyes on Jesus. You know, when Christians assume that, hey, if I just follow Jesus, everybody's going to love me, they totally got it wrong, because Jesus said the opposite. We should realize that and yet continue to pursue the Lord.
Some great counsel, Adriel. Thanks so much. And Sarah, thank you for your question. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and Jason emailed us with this question. He says, "I'm reading through the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, and I can't help but inject myself into the text. I feel like the strategies outlined by the main character, the devil named Screwtape, are things that I have experienced. However, I also tend to read the Bible with myself at the center as well. How do I shift from reading and studying theology with myself at the center to reading and studying with Jesus at the center?"
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to think about the scriptures as for us, but not necessarily all about us. You know, we like to think of them as all about us. So we read ourselves right into it in one sense. And the problem with that is sometimes we can really misunderstand and misinterpret the scriptures in that way. So for example, if I'm reading, you know, these Old Testament promises related to the land of Israel, riches and wealth, and so on and so forth, and I'm saying, you know, that's my promise in that way as it was under the old covenant, well, then I'm going to have this expectation that if I'm just, you know, faithful to God, he's going to bless me with, I don't know, a plot of land somewhere, and maybe riches and wealth, and my flocks are going to do really good, and all that. Well, that's a wrong way to read the Bible. The Bible is not primarily about us. It's about Jesus. It's about him. It's the story of redemption, and all scripture points to him. You think about Luke 24, what Jesus said when he's on the road to Emmaus with some of his disciples, and he opens their eyes to see all the things in the scriptures written about him. So the scriptures are about Jesus, but they're written also for our benefit, so that we might know Jesus, so that we might be challenged, corrected, built up by the truth of the gospel. So you fix your eyes on Jesus through the scriptures, Jason, and then you receive through the scriptures Jesus for you, the forgiveness of your sins, the hope of the gospel, the promises that in him, Paul says, are yes and amen for you. So it's this beautiful thing that we read the scriptures through Jesus, and then we realize that we receive all these benefits in him and from them. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.